Okay, it's December 23rd, 2010, and this is the Half-Assed Podcast. I'm Dan W547, or Dan, as always. Tom, by my side, Born Survivor 123.
Hello, good evening.
And we're joined today by Taylor, who's from Japan by way of America. I think that's right. His YouTube channel is Murugaru553. Taylor?
Hello, good morning.
And he's, yeah, morning over there, not so morning over here. So since you're the new guy, what have you been playing lately?
Let's see, I've been playing lots of different things. I've been playing Donkey Kong Country Returns for the Wii.
Yes!
And I'm really enjoying that. I'm on the third world level. I don't know how how you'd say it.
I don't know. I'm on the fourth one. What are you making of the slight implementation of the motion controls?
I don't mind it so much, but I'll roll when I want to just crouch down and blow on the things in the background to get all the bonus stuff. So it's kind of a I wouldn't say a pain, but it's a little.
It's not. I think the game's really hard. I don't know if it's just me, but I think it requires a sort of a great deal of precision, and you just can't. Well, I just can't get that when I'm trying to hold right on the D-pad and then shake that to roll. Like the amount of times I've tried to roll and failed, and I've fallen off a platform or just walked into an enemy.
So are you playing it on just the Wiimote on its side?
I was originally, yeah. Then I switched to the nunchuck, which is a bit better.
Okay.
But then I don't know. I think I'm slightly retarded or something because I couldn't figure out because you can use either the nunchuck or the remote to do the roll, can't you? But it took me ages to figure out which one I would more naturally shake, if you know what I mean. So I end up using the nunchuck because you can use either to access the roll or the blowing.
Okay, yeah, I use the nunchuck and it makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know why I thought it'd be easier with the NES style, but it seemed like a good idea at the time.
I would say maybe because you didn't probably think that the motion controls were going to be in there like that.
Yeah, but it is amazing.
Yeah, I really like that the remixed music's really good. I really like the graphics for it. So I'm waiting for it to get brutally hard because doesn't that happen by the third or even the fourth world or so?
I think you're getting there. I'm pretty sure I'm on the fourth, and they just throw minecart level after minecart level at you, and it's really tough.
Can't wait.
it's good stuff there, like you say, you know. And I love the fact, like you said, that they've got all the old sort of the majority of the old soundtrack remixed in there, which is really cool.
Yeah, I think they did a lot better job with the remixed as opposed to what they did with Sonic 4.
Oh, another Sonic 4 soundtrack hater.
No! I don't hate it. I like it.
It's just not up there.
I think they did a better job. The group in, was it Retro Games that made Donkey Kong Country Returns? I think, I don't remember.
Retro Studios, yeah.
Retro Studios, okay, close, that was close. They I think, did a better job remixing older classical game music as opposed to the guys that did Sonic 4.
Definitely, I mean, but they're, I don't know if you played the Metroid Prime games, but the soundtrack in those is amazing, so I kind of knew going into Donkey Kong Country Returns, assumed that the soundtrack was going to be awesome.
Yeah, I played one, but I didn't get to play two or three.
I found those games were awesome, but I think after one, the novelty kind of wore off a little bit for me.
Okay. All right, let's see, what else have I been playing? I've been playing on the PSP, do you know the Ease series?
Oh, Ease, yeah.
Ease, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I've been playing... I've had it for a while, and I've played it on the PC, but I wanted to try it on the PSP, and that was the Oath and Fal'Ghana.
Yeah.
So have either of the two had the chance to play that?
I've dabbled ever so slightly. I've got to say, cause what was the last one that came out on the PSP? Was it E7?
I know in
Japan you've had one and two remade as well, haven't you?
They're all over the place.
But my point was, sorry, like the art style, I really love the art style of that one that's just come out. It's, I don't know, it's really distinctive. And it's strange, like you say, because it was isn't it like a 5-year-old PC game or something?
Yeah, it's actually, it was originally the story is from East 3, Wanderers from East, which is old, and it was really odd because it was 2D as opposed to the kind of overview that East 1 and 2 were. And when they remade the game, they completely did an overhaul to it, and they changed a bit of the story, and they added so much to it, and then they made this awesome soundtrack for it. So
I think East games always have awesome soundtracks. Just one of those things, I guarantee.
Yeah, it definitely like accentuates the game playing for the series is the music. At times, it feels like the music overrides the game itself.
Yeah, it really does. I found that with E7.
So yeah, for the DS, I've been playing Ni No Kuni, which is level 5 in Studio Ghibli, tag teaming to make an RPG. And you have the combo word, the Studio Ghibli animation style throughout the whole game with the monsters and everything, and you actually do get cutscenes in the animation style at time, which is really, really nice.
Is that something that's coming to the West, or is that exclusive to?
I've heard it's coming out outside of Japan, but I'm kind of worried because with the game, it actually comes with this 350 hardbound book that's a central piece to the game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because it's this kind of like magical book, so it has all the magic spells that you need to learn that you can only learn at a certain time, and it, like, you have to do certain movements for it. And it also has a bestiary. It's got just a whole slew of different things, and they reference this book in the game. So if you don't have the book, you're not going to be able to play the game. And so I don't know how they're going to like translate that over into like North America.
Yeah,
or
that's
the
a
Power
lot of effort,
Regions.
Isn't it?
Does the book come with the game, or do you have to buy it separately, or is it part of the package sort of thing?
It's part of the package. Like, I went in with my pre-order for the game, and you know how big the DS card boxes are. They're not really that big. And they come in with this box that's like 3 times as big as the DS stuff. I'm like, what the hell is in here? So, and it's just this beautiful book that's just got a whole bunch of illustrations, and it's got history, and
that's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, if you're a fan of Studio Ghibli and you're worried that it might not have the same oomph if it gets when it gets released outside of Japan, I would suggest what's the word? Losing words. Import. There we go. Yeah.
Is it import friendly though?
Not really.
That's sound advice.
Yeah. Well, if you don't really know Japanese, it's kind of hard. But if you're a fan of Studio Ghibli, then I figure you might have some inclination to, or at least a hint of Japanese, maybe. I don't know. So it's a double-edged sword on that one. If you don't know Japanese, but you're a Studio Ghibli fan, it's something nice to look at.
Yeah.
So anything other than obscure Japanese RPGs you've been playing?
Oh, let's see. That one's obscure, but I was playing a third birthday. But
I don't think that is. That's I forgot the code now. Wait, Parasite is the Parasite prequel?
Yeah. Well, it's not a prequel. It's a part. The third birthday is kind of how to put this. It's don't think of it as the Parasite Eve series, but think of it as the third installment of the Aya Brea story.
So, well, it's in the same universe,
right? It's more about the main character than it really is about saying it's like keeping it in continuation of the Parasite Eve series.
So what, in terms of gameplay, what's it like? Because both those games were actually, well, they made a big change when they went to the second one, didn't they?
Right. This one's, did you ever play Dirge of Cerberus?
Yeah.
Think of it like that, but a lot more faster paced.
Oh, really? That sounds pretty good, actually.
Yeah, man, that sounds good.
It's insane. It's actually really, really fun, and it is rather difficult.
I've liked the look of it. I don't know if there's like a firm release date for like a you know an English version.
What format is this? What's this on?
PSP.
Xbox. Oh, PS3.
The PSP. Yeah, a lot of games seem to be that I seem to get are on the PSP. But yeah, it I think it comes out sometime next year.
So that like if you look at that series, it's really gone from a sort of semi-hardcore RPG, isn't it, to the second one, which was more action-driven, to this, which is, like, by the way, what you're saying is completely sort of an action game.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's very action. It's
dropped a lot
action.
Of RPG baggage, say that.
Right, yeah, the elements that it has for an RPG are really, like, you can upgrade your weapons. And you also have, you can get these bits of DNA that you can put together in a certain kind of combination in a 3x3 grid that either boosts, or it'll give you a temporary boost in strength, or it'll help reloading, and it's just a bunch of different things. I guess it's still not exactly slated, but sometime in the first quarter of next year.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. So... But yeah, it's really it's shorter, I think, than well, no, it's actually about the same length as the other Parasite Eve games. It's really fun. It's kind of confusing at first if you're not really set to pay attention to the story, then you're just kind of going to get lost right off the bat. Yeah. So
I look forward to that one. Anything else before we move?
Anything
on?
Else? No. That's it.
It's fair to say.
Stop talking to me now.
You're a man who likes his RPGs, and you're a man who likes his PSP.
Yes.
How's the PSP doing in Japan? Because I know it's kind of pretty much dead in the water everywhere else. Is it doing better in Japan or worse?
Oh, it's doing a lot better. It's kind of. I wouldn't say it's. Doing is it's not rivaling the DS, but
yeah.
I would say it's doing really good for
it's still a contender.
Because right. there's a common consensus. Well, there's kind of factual really a consensus in with Japanese gamers, which I know you're not Japanese, but you live there. They tend to steer more towards the consoles that have been manufactured in Japan. Hence why the Xbox has just been, I don't know, pretty much ignored, isn't it? Especially the 360.
Yeah.
Apparently, because. They just launched Final Fantasy 13, didn't they? Some ultimate, what was it, like the international edition with extra content and Christ knows what else. And apparently the sales for it have just been abysmal. And it's apparently budget price as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not doing very well. The 360 never has really done really well. Just it's the whole foreigner thing,
yeah,
but
yeah.
It's also just... A lot of Japanese gamers get into that rut, as just any gamers, really. They get into that rut, and they get into their comfort zone, and they don't really want to try other things. But they've... more and more, I think they're opening up to it with some of the different games that are coming out for it, because I see a lot more advertisements for the 360, and it seems to be picking up steam a little bit. So.
It's taken a while, though. The funny thing is, though, I mean, they've... literally been pummeling out the RPGs on the 360 for like a good 2 or 3 years. Well, maybe 3 or 4 years now, haven't they? So I thought that would have been the thing that gave it a sort of strong foundation in Japan.
Well, you have to. Let's see what's come out on as RPGs for the 360. You had Lost Odyssey.
Yeah, to be fair, some of them are terrible, like The Last Remnant, but it wasn't exclusive. It was made by Square Enix, so you know that's two of the boxes ticked.
So yeah, it's well that, but you also have to think that a lot of the gamers in Japan, they either don't have a lot of space, or they're younger, and so they'll go towards like the DS or the PSP. Well, the PSP is really popular with Monster Hunter. Monster Hunter here.
And that's
I don't know why, but
that's weird as hell, isn't it? Because it's not, it's like enormous in Japan, and everywhere else it's just. Mildly popular, isn't it? I mean, I don't think in Europe it's that popular at all.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know anyone, in fact, who's like a big fan of the series.
I was about to say, I've never played it. Have either of you two played it?
Yeah,
I played the Wii one, not the PSP one.
It's for lack of a better term, really Japanese. It's so grindy. I mean, all you do in that game is just, oh, you just grind throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, no thanks.
It's just weird.
As much as I love JRPGs, there's times where I just can't. I'm not really for grinding.
Yeah, definitely. That's my issue with those games. But I understand that some people enjoy it, and some people are crazy and they like those games. So, on topic of crazy people, Tom, how's it going?
Yeah, not too bad. I take it we're talking about playing games still.
Talking about you playing games, pal.
I've given up and I don't play them anymore.
That's a shame.
Nothing too special. Again, I've been playing through Contra and Super Contra. Obviously, I completed them the other day, which was quite an achievement. I did use the Konami cheat thing.
Konami code.
That's it. Yeah. I dabbled back into Call of Duty Black Ops the last couple of nights. That wasn't on my decision. It was just my mates playing it sort of thing. But I believe it or not, I've actually realised that I was quite missing it. Not missing it as in I used to, but it's quite fun. I mean, I spent a good couple of hours on it last night. But yeah, and then also I dabbled in Final Fantasy 13 again the other day as well.
Did you get anywhere? Actually, before you even start, can I just say, how long has it been since you put it down and picked it up again?
I got to the Free Roam area, the start of the Free Roam. The last time I played it in that was when I first moved into this flat, so about 4 or 5 months ago now. I always go through stages. I seem to get to a boss that I can't do, and then I put it down for like 3 months, and I come back and do it first time. So I've always kind of got to that stage, but so it's been 4 months or so, and then I come back to it, and I'm just getting absolutely owned left, right, and centre by every single creature that's on that field. So I think I spent about half hour on it and gave up in the end because I was just getting wiped out every single time I was finding something. So. But other than that, I don't think there's been anything exciting. I've been playing. I played today the Dead Space 2 demo, which I put a good half hour, 45 minutes into, which I'm actually loving it. I think it's absolutely amazing. I really enjoyed number one, but this one seems to work a lot better. The controls seem a lot more accurate, a lot more smoother. The gameplay just seems to run a lot better altogether.
It did seem more responsive.
And it doesn't, like, I remember as well, like, you go through a door and the camera is such a hard angle to see in, and you have to walk through the door, then rotate the camera around, then walk forward, then rotate. But it just kind of follows you smoothly in this one, as opposed to trying to find your vision of what pathway you want to go down into. And it just seems to follow you a lot more smoother in this one.
It seems like it's almost following the same sort of evolutionary path as Resident Evil, doesn't it? Where the first one had those really tight camera angles. And I mean, there were quite a lot of enemies in it, but it was all about that mechanical movement, which made it really hard to sort of turn around quickly and see what's behind you, which in its own way sort of conjures fear. And like you say, the controls in the second one, or the demo at least, are way more responsive. The hallways sort of seem wider as well. Did you know, I don't know, I only played about 10 minutes of it, but I thought that there's less of an emphasis on scares. I mean, they just literally throw a ton of enemies at you. So it, like...
When you come into, like, I like the whole thrill of... The thing that I like that they do is that they hold off for a long while, and where you expect to see enemies, you don't, sort of thing. And then they'll kind of just jump out. But as you say, when they do jump out, it's kind of 5 minutes without any creatures, and then one will jump out, and you'll have like five passageways full of creatures, then none. It does go through sort of a rhythm, but it's unique as well in the way of like the way the creatures do come out, and they always catch you unawares. Like, even though you're expecting them, they will come out of somewhere you're not expecting or where you wouldn't think of, sort of thing. And it also had the survival element straight away. I mean, because I took out two creatures and my gun was empty straight away, and it was straight down to starting to switch weapon like whilst in battle. And I love that whole feel to those sort of games when you can't change a weapon quick enough and you're trying to reload and that sort of thing. So that worked well, I thought. But I'm happy with it. I'm liking it.
So you're excited about Dead Space 2. What about pickups? What have you been spending your money on?
Nothing too much, actually. The only one, obviously, that you know about was yet to come was the Sudeki on the Xbox, the original Xbox, which I'm still yet to play at the moment. And also I picked up cheap yesterday. Again, I'm still yet to play, but it was Star Wars Rogue Leader on the GameCube.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Did you play what was the first one called? I've forgotten. Was it Star Wars Rogue Squadron 2?
Yeah.
Did you play that?
I dabbled in it when it first came out, but this was a good couple of years ago, and to tell you the truth, I can't remember a thing about it.
The visuals were absolutely stunning in this game, and they still hold up really well.
Yeah. I mean, it looks good on the back and that, and I've never been into a fan of the flying sort of games and that, but I'm really getting into them lately. As I said, I was really enjoying the flying in Dark Void, and obviously Panzer Dragoon and that I'm enjoying at the moment as well, so it'll be nice to see if I'm enjoying all the sort of flying games now and that. And have a little dabble in that in the week, maybe. After Christmas.
So never then?
No, yeah, probably. It'll be on my shelf, though. It'll be there just to show off. Yeah. Other than that, was it. 2D shooters on the PS1 is all I've been playing. The Gekio and that.
I don't know a lot about that. What was the full name of that? I can't even remember.
I don't know. It's like the ultimate flying warrior or something. It's like that.
Something crazy. So that's it. That's what you've been hitting.
That is it, yeah. And as I say, Call of Duty and a bit of FIFA and that. I've just been mainstreaming it this week. So it's Christmas, you know. I needed a break.
A break from the norm to the norm.
Exactly.
Right. You know, I haven't really played jack shit. Let me scramble my brains here. A little bit of Castlevania, Harmony of Despair, mm-hmm. yourself.
Yes.
We're not getting anywhere in that.
No. we were saying that we were trying to record it the other day, and we just went over the same level for about the fifth time, and we still got lost. So.
Right. But when it was, it's just one of those things. When we weren't recording, we played fine. Everyone says this. And then as soon as we hit the record button, it was just, oh, man, just falling down the same hole, trying to get up onto the simplest platform about 50 times.
Mm-hmm.
It's just obscene, so...
But it's good nonetheless.
It is a great game. It's just you require some level of skill, and I don't think we have that.
No, and I went on the Xbox today, and it's half price for the Christmas countdown. Have you seen it today? It's half price.
It broke my heart. It's 1,200 points, and I said this before, it's a great game, but that's a really tall order, especially with all the DLC they've already pumped out for it.
Definitely, and like we were saying as well in the last one, if it was cheaper, then maybe buy it. Now it is cheaper, I would definitely suggest you to buy it at a cheaper price because you don't feel like you've wasted too much for 1,200, do you know what I mean? But 600 is just it's an okay game for 600. Well, I mean, if you don't like it.
I think it's a bargain for 800, and 600 is just fantastic. But
oh, definitely, yeah.
Oh, just, meh.
Nah.
So what else have they got? Obviously, yeah, Microsoft's 12 Days of Christmas, whatever the hell it is.
Yep.
Unfortunately, we went on a bit of a shopping spree on Xbox Live before that came out, and thus wasted a lot of money, which is quite annoying.
Because there's many titles now that I'd like to get at half price on the deal of the week sort of thing.
Yeah, and the day obviously there's a few that are consistent throughout the week, but the day-by-day ones obviously literally last 24 hours and then they're gone.
And they're kind of better deals as well. I mean, Super Meat Boy is 30% off throughout the week, but it's half price. For Harmony of Despair at the moment, isn't it?
It just brings a tear to my eye. So how do you feel about DLC downloadable games, Taylor?
I enjoy it when they have the old classic ones on there because I can download it and then play it and don't put so much wear and tear on the ones that I own.
Yeah.
But as the kind of new wave of I guess media. I'm not a big fan of it. I'm kind of like you guys. I want something tangible to hold on.
Definitely.
So I'm kind of... Because it's cool and all, but...
It's someone to hold.
I need something to hold.
I agree with that. I don't know. That's just one of those things, isn't it? It's nice to have those games on the big screen and they look pixel perfect or whatever you want to call that. Mm. But it just doesn't beat playing it with a clunky old Genesis or Mega Drive pad where the buttons barely respond and you can't walk left. At times.
Well, it's like, I think it's one of those things where if it's kind of the out of sight, out of mind, and or at least for me. So if I have it downloaded onto a PS3 or the Wii or something, and I don't keep tabs, if I don't constantly see it, I'm going to forget about it. Whereas
Absolutely.
With my collection, I can at least see all that I have and be like, okay, I want to play this right now. So I'm fearful of the downloadable games and all that.
I think, I don't know, I think this week where it's been shopping and the work and that where I've been quite tired and that, all I've been doing is because I can't even can't be asked to go and get a game and put it in. I've literally just been playing the downloads, and you do it does kind of get like because obviously I only have a certain amount on there. I'm kind of fed up with some of them now, and it just wears on you playing the same ones over and over again. So I mean, obviously I wouldn't, as you say, wouldn't live by just the downloads on their own at the moment.
That's how they're winning, though. They're like, this thing has worked, this downloadable content, because gamers are so fucking lazy. Eventually they realise that, yeah, we're going to get comfortable, we're not going to move, we're just going to hit the middle button on the Xbox and spend 1,200 points.
And with the option of quick launch as well.
And quick launching. And yeah, on the flip side, they're going launch connect, which baffles me.
Yeah.
Like, that's another thing that kind of grinds my gears about the whole downloadable content thing, is that you're paying full price for the game, which has, like, a booklet, which nowadays, you know, the booklets are pretty shoddy, but
yeah.
It's, like, maybe two pieces of paper, and if you're lucky, it's in color, and they have, you know, the booklet and the case and everything that's shipped out, and then for the downloadable content, it's the same price. It's, like, that's exactly. That's really not, that's
yeah,
that doesn't make sense.
That's just fucked. I know, because there's no benefit. There's no tangible benefit for the consumer. They're just like, oh. Especially with the PSP games on the PlayStation Store, where a lot of them are actually more expensive in the UK store anyway. More expensive to buy there than they would be in the shops.
Yeah.
It's like, well, are you serious?
Yep, absolutely. Fine example was Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker, which was, I just say in UK money, I think it's like $31.99, which probably is about somewhere in the region of $50, I imagine.
No, it's something like that. I thought to the pound it was two.
It used to be.
It's gone
sort of down in against our favor at the moment. But the thing was, like, and I imagine it's the same in America. I know you're not there now, but you know, $39.99, $49.99. Those are prices, right? For some reason, the PlayStation Store, that's not good enough. Not only does it have to be more expensive than the shop, they've jacked it up from $29.99 to $32.99. So even if you sell an extra, like, in our case, £2, in America's case, $2 on top of it. And yeah, literally.
Like downloaders fee or something?
I don't know. So and at retail, Peace Walker, what was it, like, between £20 and £25, as I was saying. So, or you can pay £31.99, so £32 on the PlayStation Store and have no physical media. It's just, why? I don't, but that is why the PSP Go is dead.
Exactly. That is the only downfall to it as well, isn't it? That you're not going to get any sales. You'll get sales by their sort of sales.
Exactly.
You'll never get any secondhand games.
Once it's all just downloadable content, then it's like, well, you either pay, you know, whatever, $70 for the new Call of Duty or £50 for the new Call of Duty, or you don't have it.
Exactly.
And that's ultimately probably how they're going to make loads of money and do away with the physical games. Anyway, we whinge about this every week, but just rename it.
Moving it on.
Yeah, move on to something happier. Spit some retro games. Anyone?
I've been playing through Contra.
Contra, retro. I think, was it 87? I couldn't actually look at the date on that.
87, yeah, I think the first one was. And you've been playing through the Contra Rebirth, haven't you?
Contra Rebirth on WiiWare. Again, another downloadable game. That is absolutely awesome. I don't know if... I wanted to cover that on my channel, actually. But just in terms of the visuals, it's really sort of high-fidelity 2D artwork. It just looks fantastic. I think it's sort of... Because I also got Castlevania Rebirth, and that is clearly geared towards looking like a Mega Drive game, or, again, Genesis. But this Contra Rebirth is more... You know, it's like kind of like a Neo Geo. It's more of a sort of powerhouse effect that they've gone for. And it's just absolutely brilliant. It plays the same as every Contra game. There's one minor difference, though, which you'll probably be more interested in than most. When you hold down the fire button like you would in the normal Contra...
Yeah.
Actually, I don't even think you can you? It continuously fires, but it stops you from moving.
Oh, really?
So you actually have to keep tapping. And I thought that was a negative sort of quality, but the more you play it, the more you realise when you have to stand still as you're doing Contra, you can hold down the button and aim without moving.
Oh, that's pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The amount of times you have to be pixel perfect in where you're standing.
Yeah, definitely.
Not to die in Contra.
Especially when we've been playing number two and you've got, like, the bridges above you as well as enemies that are below, and you're kind of running and trying to shoot diagonal and level at the same time.
Absolutely. And that was just that's an awesome revision. I think you should give Contra 4 a shot on the DS as well.
Yeah, man, I'm definitely going to get into them. As I say, after Christmas, there's a lot of titles I'm making this for that I want to be picking up on that, but didn't want to be rushing out before, sort of thing. But yeah, you say holding down the button in the overtures that it gives you a free burst fire, I think, in the original ones. You hold it down, it shoots like M16, three bullets, then stops, then three bullets, then stops, sort of thing.
Oh, I didn't know that.
As far as I know, anyway. Number two, it does.
Too busy frantically mashing them all to actually...
Yeah, that's about right.
How many points is the one for the WiiWare?
Oh, man, it's 1,000 points, which I think... Oh, no, I was just about to say what it is in English money. 1,000 points.
Okay. All
right. Ukraine, whatever they call them.
I might have to look into that.
That's not, it's the lowest amount you can buy, I think. I think they sell 1,000, 2,000, then 5,000, something like that.
Right. But, yeah, it's the same here in Japan. 1,000, 2,000, and then I think it's like 5,000. Or maybe there's a 3,000. The PlayStation one's 5,000.
But like you said, I mean, the Wii's really got some cool... I guess a Rebirth's the perfect name. Like, they put out a new Excitebike game, which is effectively the same thing. It's just sort of modernized graphics, but the gameplay is exactly the same as it was on the NES, and it's absolutely brilliant. And that's... Because there's not a lot of downloadable content that really interests me on the Wii. A lot of the sort of emulated games, I don't know, again, it just, like you were saying earlier, I'd rather have the real thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
The prices aren't cheap.
I think that's what they try to do with the Wii, though, isn't it? When you say, like, the Rebirth and that, they've tried to keep the classic game and graphics going, but tweak the controls so it works much better to, like, to the gamer, sort of thing. So it's much more responsive.
I was going to say, I will give some props for the kind of the retro, I guess, wave that's downloadable on the Wii and the PlayStation and the Xbox Arcade kind of stuff. And that gets maybe newer gamers or gamers that didn't really have the chance to play some of those games kind of a new lease on life to finally experience them in their old retro quote-unquote glory. So
I think that's like Mega Man with me, wasn't it? Like, I hadn't really touched upon it, and then obviously... To get hold of it now is more expensive than it is just to download it, sort of thing. And as I got it on sale for like 200 points, it was like perfect buy. And it got me straight into it to see the retro game itself. So,
that's how I got into East was with, I was studying in Japan elsewhere, maybe 3 years ago. And I was bored one day and I was like, oh, let's check this game out. And so I downloaded it, and I knew the music from different sort like, do you know Dojin? Probably not. so maybe not. It's like amateurs that make music. Either they remix game music or they make their own original. Think of really anything on YouTube that might take, you know, they might make either vocals or they just make rocking music.
Yeah, yeah.
And one... do you know Stepmania?
In name only.
Name only. Okay, like when I was starting out in college, I was really big into Stepmania. I really loved it and DDR and that kind of stuff. And there was these awesome rock mixes. I'll send you links if you're interested. It's of just different game songs and remixes. And I followed this person and kind of internet stalked them in a way and just kind of listened to everything that they had, and a lot of it was East music, and it was really awesome. So I was like, oh, I know this game from so-and-so, and so I checked it out on the Wii 3 years ago, and I fell in love with the series ever since. So
nice.
East to me, like, I think it's I watched like a Happy Console Gaming video where he did a feature on it, and it's just like I love RPGs, but I can't play more than one at a time kind of thing, because I get tired of the sort of turn-based combat. And I love the fact that Ys has got real-time combat. Having said that, I had an issue with... do you play like the older Ys games, like literally 1 and 2?
Yeah, the ones where you run into the enemies.
That's just messed up. I was playing it. I was like, how do you swing your sword or whatever? I was like, oh, it's kind of already out. You just literally walk into the enemy and they take damage, which is so weird.
It's really strange. I remember, like, how long did it take you to figure that out, that you just run into the enemy?
Basically, after I realized I wasn't dying, and they were. I was like, oh, like, yeah.
Yeah, because it took me, like, a good half an hour to figure out. Because I would keep on dying and then have to start over at the beginning town. And I was getting so pissed off. I'm like, this game is dumb. What is wrong with this? So, yeah, if you play the original ones, try to hit the enemies from the side or the back, because
That is the, yeah, exactly. That's the strategy that's involved. But it's so, I don't know, that's such a weird thing not to have like a sword swinging animation or whatever.
Yeah, like the Nihon Falcom, the company that makes Ys and a few other series, there's another series called Brandish, which I don't think has actually been released elsewhere. Not that I'm aware of, but
I've not heard of it.
It's really strange. You move the camera angles and it tries to make it 3D. It works better nowadays as opposed to when they were releasing it on the Super Famicom, but it's really weird. You move by like square by square and you have to rotate the camera around, and it's, Falcom's got some really interesting games when with their series. I love Falcom. That's probably my favorite company. They like the games that they make. They have Zwei, they've got Ys, they've got the AU Densetsu, the Legend of Heroes series, and they just, the Brandish, even though it's really quirky as hell, I love Brandish, and just, I love Falcom. So
do you like Disgaea? Is that how you say that?
Disgaea? Actually, not really.
That is mad Japanese and mad just crazy. I have the third one for the PS3, and it's just so insane.
I was about to say, if I remember correctly, aren't the numbers really astronomical, and it's just over the top kind
of... Oh yeah, you level up in the thousands, I think.
Jesus.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I never really got into it. I know people will love it and defend it. It's just, it doesn't really suit my palate.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat with that one, really. I like the art style of it, and I quite like the gameplay, but the grinding nature of it and the amount of time that you've got to put into that is just something I'm not quite willing to do. To put it nicely.
We had in the week, I don't know if you want to talk about it now, and again, I don't know if this will, if Taylor's a fan like we are, but we had a question from a YouTuber, didn't we, that... was sent to us in a week.
A one and only fan.
A one and only fan, yeah. it was from Mr. Let's Play. And he said to us, he said that now that we're into playing survival horror games, what has been the most scariest gaming moment that we've had to date? So, do you want to start then? Are you a fan of survival horror even, Taylor?
Yeah, actually, yeah. I really like those games.
Yeah. Right, even terrible. My guests insult me now.
No, I'm a bastard.
It's got to that stage. This is what you've done, Dan. You've made people think that they can insult me.
It's a free podcast. They can do what they want. Wait. So what were you saying? What was your...
No, I really like survival horror. I can't say it now.
You've done it now.
Yeah, survival horror games. My favorite, like, I really enjoyed the GameCube remakes of Resident Evil.
Oh, yeah.
And the older Silent Hill games.
Yeah, definitely.
Those really get me. The Parasite Eve series, I know, mentioned it earlier, isn't really too scary. It's a bit more creepy.
Definitely.
I think I really like those.
I always found that Parasite Eve was more almost just like an action game in the sense that it was just going for cool more than...
Yeah.
It creates an atmosphere, but it's more interesting than it is, like you say, scary or anything like that.
It's quite unique as well to itself, isn't it?
I find that, I don't know, scariest moment, that's pretty... I have to say that just the most obvious one, I did mention this before, which is just the dogs that burst through the sort of hallway in the original Resident Evil. Because that, no, you know, you don't... Why would you think that was going to come? You wouldn't. Because in that, that's like... And the first... As you walk through that door, as I recall, you've got the... typical Resident Evil black screen with the door opening load screen.
Yeah.
And a really fucked up camera angle that's behind you. So you walk forward, or in my case, run, because I'm always rushing through games. The dogs jump out, it scares the shit out of you. And then you run forward to the next passage. I don't know if you remember, but when you open that door, the next camera angle it greets you with is literally just the camera on the door, and you see your character face on, so you have no idea what is in front of you in the next room. So I'm already just terrified. And that whole sequence to me was probably the scariest moment.
We were talking about that the other day, definitely. I think, as you say, I don't know if there's been a particular scary moment. I was mentioning some the other day. Like, I remember when I first played Doom, although it wasn't scary, it was always like had that jumpy appeal, and this was the original Doom, and I mean, this goes way back to PS1, even on PC, I think I first played that game. But when my brother, I was like about 4 or 5 or something stupid like that, my brother first got Resident Evil 1, and you walk into that room and that white-headed sort of zombie that looks like Fester out of Adam's Family turns around. Because I was young, it absolutely terrified me, it's little things like that. And again, at the start, again with Resident Evil, at the start of, I think it was Resident Evil Zero even, where you're on the train, just the sounds, and that, I was playing that on my own.
Oh, the lighting was... The remake as well was, we're just harking on Resident Evil here, but to me it probably is the best survival horror series.
Yeah, and I was just gonna say that they've all been factors to me, but I think the one and ultimate that I was saying to you the other day, the ultimate game that's actually, I've sat there and I've had fear whilst playing it and I've sort of not wanted to play it, was Condemned when that was first released on the 360. In pitch black, with nothing on except surround sound on your TV, playing right. Condemned, shitted me up beyond
creaking floorboards and just crazy dudes screaming, yeah. And you can hear them, he's coming up and to the left, you're like, oh my fucking
Definitely.
God.
And it's the whole survival element as well of like most games though, you'll be like, oh yeah, you've got a gun, but you've only got a few, you really don't even get a gun, and it's like, oh, let me rip off a toilet seat and smash his face until he stops moving, sort of thing.
There's absolute desperation at every turn in that game, exactly. And that's what's brilliant about it.
And even like the toilet seat and the pipes and that, they even break and weaken as well, so it's like, you can only hit a certain amount before, and then if you've got nothing after that, it's down to the fists, and you're like, oh great, they're like 5 times stronger than me, there's nothing there to go by.
I love that game, and it's talking of scary moments. Is it? I think it's the first one where you go to like it's like a history museum, and there's
it's
like some sort of samurai.
It's got like samurai Shogun, medieval and all that as well.
Yeah, and you just even though because there's hints towards supernatural goings on in the early parts of that game. Yeah, and as soon as you see this. This just big suit of armor. I don't know about you, but I just assume, and it looks intimidating as hell. I just assumed that was going to jump out and get me. And you walk deeper and deeper in, and there's more and more of them, and it's just like, oh my god.
Yeah, and you get the final one as well, in that the place where you sort of like walk in, and you know he's going to attack you, but you stand there and wait for him to attack you. He does nothing, and you just walk on out. But it entices you have to come back that way to get something or other. And the second time you come back, you're not expecting him to come alive.
And what's brilliant about that is all your concentration, and just like I said there, I think you think the same as me when you were going through that, is that those armaments going to come down, they're going to attack me, completely forgetting about the sort of generic thugs that would normally get you, and then out of nowhere you hear a scream, throw the controller, squeal like a little girl, and he's like, oh god!
No, but definitely, as you say, it is great, and I mean, it's one of the very few survival games where the whole element of the game literally is, oh shit, I need to survive this bit, otherwise this is game, like, whereas most games, it's like, I've got to find the key, I've got to find the door, I've got to find this, and shoot some zombies, I've just got to survive, that's all I've got to do.
And the whole sort of CSI element of it as well. I tell you, the one part of that game, which, it's just one of those moments where it's predictable as hell, and it still scared the crap out of me, or just grossed me out. You know, you find the guy in the locker, basically a dead body, and what you have to do is you zoom in with this device, and it shows you, like, I don't know what you call it, like ultraviolet light, basically, doesn't it? So you can pick up stains of blood and all that kind of trace of DNA. So anyway, it's like, oh, zoom in on him. So you zoom in, you're like, he's dead. And you kind of think, like, this. Why are they telling me zoom in? He can jump out, isn't he? Zoom in. And he's like, oh, okay, that's great. Take a picture. Now zoom in a little bit more. You zoom in a little bit more. And you fucking know it's coming, but there's a little part of you that says, no, he's dead. And out of nowhere, he just screams and jumps at you. And again, it's another heart attack moment. Like, the original Condemned was absolutely brilliant.
Definitely, yeah. I think, like, I mean, although the ending was a bit obscure and a bit, it kind of misled the whole story, it was a good ending. But then, as soon as number 2 was released, I was like, this is it, it's a greatest game. And I honestly thought Condemned 1 at the time was one of my all time favorite games. It was unbeatable, and I know it got slated so bad, it just flopped. Like,
well, yeah, it got kind of like 8s and that. But when you see a new console launch, everyone wants some sort of, you know, 10 out of Definitely, 10 yeah. AAA.
And it was the first game of its time, as in ultra violence, caving someone's head in, sort of.
Yeah, and it was made, put out by the guys, I can't actually remember who fucking developed it now, but they put out Fear before that, didn't they?
Yeah, which I absolutely loved as well. I thought that was fantastic. And I played it on PC, originally.
Aptly named, because that game, man, that game shapes you up like
fuck. Definitely. I mean, from start to finish as well. That's when you know it's good, when it starts from to finish. I remember there's a particular bit where you're walking up the stairs, walking up a ladder, but obviously you can't look up. And when you do get level, she's like laying looking straight at your face. And I was like, fuck!
Scary little girls.
Turned it off and never played it again.
I managed to finish it, and I don't know. Again, the combat. I just don't remember who actually made that game. I don't suppose either of you remember the name of the studio.
No.
It's really not coming. I'm going to cheat and Google it.
I was going to say, I'll check it out.
But their ability, like their use of sound, is absolutely incredible in games, because that's how the majority of that fear is generated. Oh, it was Monolith, and they put out, do you ever play a game called Blood or Blood 2?
Yeah, yeah.
First person shooters, like way back.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I love those guys. I'm kind of wondering what they're working on now, because they didn't, they're not putting out Fear 3, are they? That's game.
No, yeah, I know that was announced that it was talking about Fear 3, but it kind of nothing ever happened from it. It was just kind of...
Well, they got, what do you call it, Ninja Theory actually developing it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that is coming out. But it just has nothing to do with Monolith, which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah, nice. Well, it's always worth a play, isn't it? See how they adapt it, sort of thing. But I remember the bullet time in Fear as well. I thought that was just an amazing thing at the time, because they didn't have bullet time that well done in a first-person game up until that point, I didn't feel.
Oh, no.
Fantastic.
So what did you choose here for your number one moment of fear in gaming?
Who, me?
Is it Condemned?
Yeah, it's got to be Condemned, as I say. It's definitely got to be Condemned. There was another one I was thinking of as well, and that was Project Zero, number one on the original Xbox. First time I played that, again, I was on my own, and that absolutely shit me up as well, just because of the whole creepy sort of no weapons at all. There was nothing to survive in that game. You literally had no weapons, and it was just kind of freaky in a way. But as I say, if I'm going for scary, it had to be Condemned, whereas Project Zero is more freaky. But yeah, Condemned's my number one.
Okay.
You?
Me, already said it, Resident Evil dummy.
Oh, sorry.
The dogs.
Dogs, someone remembers.
Yes. As I said, mine is I can't talk now either. The dogs, but it's from Silent Hill, the original Silent Hill.
Oh, yeah.
And where you go through at the beginning part of the game and you get all the keys to go through the house to get to the other side, to get to the school. Mm-hmm. Really early on, and it turns dark, and so all you have is this puny little flashlight and your handgun, and you're kind of trying to waltz around to get to the school, and I come out into this big, the kind of intersection, and the intersections in a lot of the areas in the game are really, really wide open.
Yeah.
And the radio starts crackling. I'm like, oh Jesus. And I'm playing this game, and I'm supposed to be grounded, so I've like snuck in. And I was playing this game at like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like trying to be as quiet as possible and stuff. And so I'm like, well, yeah, really good idea to be doing that, right? And I'm like trying to find out where the hell this thing is, and I look behind me, and there's nothing, and I'm like rotating it around, and the crackling's getting louder and louder. It's like, and I'm like, fuck, where is this thing? And I turn around, and right when I turn around again, the dog jumps and attacks me, and it flipped me out. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ! And then I got like, I got busted like right there, because I was like, Jesus Christ! And then my mom came down and she's like, "What are you doing?"
And to be fair as well, in Silent Hill, the gun you got is like a fucking pea shooter. It does no damage whatsoever, and every creature in that seems to be double the power of whatever you can produce at any point.
That
gives the whole element of it as well, like the weakness of your person as opposed to the strength, I suppose, of the enemies.
And one of the weird beauties of Silent Hill. That's what I mean. And one of the weird beauties of Silent Hill is that like it somehow managed to create fear out of basically hardware limitations. Like the draw distance when you have that big open town obviously couldn't be that long. So they generated that fog and that white ash that comes down. And the fact that you can't see anything, which, you know, in a normal game, if you've got a crappy draw distance, then it kind of is off-putting. But in that was actually what they used to build the atmosphere.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just incredible.
It was
rather ingenious of them. But yeah, that would definitely be my most terrifying moment in gaming.
Well, all very valid ones. I hope that obviously answers your question, Mr. Let's Play. And again, if there is any other questions that anyone wants to answer, give it to me or Dan, and we'll answer them.
If they're about the location of Andy, then we're not commenting that now.
The information is undisclosed here. We cannot.
All I want to say is innocent until proven guilty. I just want to make a correction as well. I said Ninja Theory developing Fear 3, which they're not. I've got Ninja Theory on the brain because they just made Enslaved, which is awesome. They're doing Devil May Cry. It's Day One Studios that are producing Fear 3.
Oh, yeah.
They made... Oh, I don't even remember this. Oh, yeah, Fracture for the 360, which wasn't that good. So I'm wondering how the hell they're going to make a decent game out of Fear. But I guess you didn't know it existed until I mentioned it a minute ago. If you check out the trailer on Xbox Live, it does actually look really good.
Most of this Fear 3.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. High hopes for that one. Is there anything else you guys want to bring up? Lunch, perhaps?
No, nothing with me, mate, unless Taylor wants to talk.
As I say, what do you guys think of the scores that company... Oh, not company. Well, yeah, that media companies give games and stuff. Because I don't understand why people think, oh, it's a... Did you guys cover this before?
Not really.
Okay. I'm losing it. But, like, somebody will give... Or take, for example, IGN or something. They'll give a game an 8 or something, and people will be like, that's a terrible game. And I don't understand why an 8 is considered bad.
Dude, to me, an 8's awesome.
Yeah.
An 8 is buy on release.
I think it's hard for me and Dan as well, because me and Dan like the shittest of the shittest games. Every game that's shit, me and Dan...
But that's the thing, though. They're not really shit games. They're just not...
No, but I'm saying they're rated to be shit, like Shenmue.
Yeah.
I'm sure games... it's like a terrible rating.
When Shenmue came out, it was 9s and 10s across the board, wasn't it?
Definitely.
Everyone wanted to get on the bandwagon of the next big thing. And yeah, then it flopped.
But we are fans of low-rated games. I think we find enjoyment out of playing low-rated games.
But it's still like, because, you know, you just grow up with, well, at least I think most people do, you just grow up with a high score, the scoring system, don't you? I mean, I remember once I read a review on IGN.com, and you know how they've got the scores at the bottom of their articles?
Yeah.
Right.
And it just, like, the first bit of this review is, I don't know what it was, something like Mass Effect, some sort of massive release, pun intended. And the guy goes, now, this is the most monumental release of the year, blah, 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 blah. But let's face it, you're just going to scroll down to the bottom. And surely enough, like, I read that one bit as I was scrolling. Yeah. And I was just like, man.
That's the same when I was growing up with gaming as well. I always growing up in the last few years, so I always used to check GameSpot. Before a game was released, I just used to go on GameSpot and literally not even read the description, just check out the rating that they gave it. But it always seemed like, I don't know if it's GameSpot only or game critics in general, but it would be like before release or in the week of release, you'd say it'd be 7s, 8s and 9s. But then you'd come back in a month's time and it would have gone down to like 3, 4 out of 10 and that. And it seems to go like that, unless it's a classic title, unless it's like...
Oh, you mean like the Metacritic things where they tally up all the scores.
It always goes up to like an 8 or 9 before release, and that, and you just always go, and it's always
because it's hype, isn't it? There's always a magazine that wants to publish the big review first, and they always overrate the goddamn things.
Exactly, yeah.
It's kind of weird. But I kind of have gotten out of... I mean, I still look at the scores before I read the reviews.
Do you check scores on GameFAQs at all?
GameFAQs, I use that website.
I use GameFAQs, but
those reviews so heinously biased, it just kills me.
No, yeah, I always find them kind of humorous more than anything.
Yeah, because literally they'll be 10 out of 10, 1 out of 10, right next to each other. It's like, okay.
Yeah, you always get those people that want to like bash a game or something, or put the game on a pedestal. And I never really checked out gaming magazines or anything when I grew up, or even nowadays. I really don't. I'm too lazy. I really am, because since I'm really into more like RPGs or JRPGs and stuff. You really can't go by a lot of the reviews, because they kind of they don't review.
They can't give you a good impression.
Exactly.
It's the same reason there aren't like a great deal of demos for RPGs, because, you know, like Final Fantasy 13, I'm not saying it's incredible, because I put Diffig as a bit of a letdown, but that game, like Tom said, it only really gets good about 30 hours in. So
what game are you talking about?
Final Fantasy 13.
Oh yeah, Final
when Fantasy. It opens up, I know it's really hard, but I mean that's what you're waiting for, wasn't it? Everything to open up.
I mean, obviously, up until 13, every Final Fantasy has been so linear, it's unbelievable. And so when they talk about I remember when they said before it was released, this Final Fantasy 13 is going to be the biggest free roam Final Fantasy out. So instantly you think, yeah, it's going to be the best, and you go on and it's linear straight away, and you're like, hold on, this doesn't seem free roam at all. And it, as you say, it does take 20, 25, 30 hours before you actually hit the free roam. So yeah, it is something to work towards, because you know at the end of it, it is, as you say, you've got the whole free roam element of it. Yes, it is hard as hell, but nonetheless, it's different. It's not the standard linear Final Fantasy.
Moving back to the reviews, like, I mean, at the end of the day, like, it does pay to read the reviews, doesn't it? The scores are what they are. But I mean, I will go, generally I'll go to the sort of big sites, GameSpot, IGN, and Giant Bomb. Giant Bomb seems to be really varied in their opinions. I mean, like, they gave, was it Bionic Commando? Jeff Gerstmann gave it 5 out of 5, which is the highest rating. And I loved that game. And that game was fucking slaughtered by the media. And I didn't really understand it. The issue going into that I thought it would have is that you get like motion sickness, or basically they wouldn't have implemented the grapple hook very well, and it would be hard to line up all the jumps and the platforming. Mm. And it wasn't at all. There's a learning curve, but there is a learning curve. That's not me sticking up for the game.
But there is. It's with every legitimate. Game, though, isn't there?
Yeah, but this is a mechanic that no one has done right ever.
Right. Yeah.
They just haven't, and no one's really tried it on that scale, and it works brilliantly. And they implemented the gunplay and the sort of melee takedowns into it as well, in just a phenomenal fashion. I just couldn't understand why that game was so slated.
But I think at the end of the day, as you say, with the ratings and that, it obviously I check out ratings all the time before a game comes out, while it's out, and I will always go and check out the game ratings and that. But at the end of the day, it's your own preference, isn't it? If you like that game and other people hate it, it's not means it's a shit game because other people have rated it shit. At the end of the day, it's your preference of gaming, isn't it?
Yeah, I do think that there's no, you know, it's not like you should cast aside the reviews because they're a valuable resource for information.
Definitely, yeah.
The facts of what you should do is literally just read the reviews, an array of sources, and then pick out what you want and come up with your own opinion from that. Like Gran Turismo, you read the reviews for that. It's a great game, Gran Turismo 5, I should say. But the UI and the fucking load times and the install times are just completely fucked, and it is shipped in a state that didn't even feel like a finished game. And the reviews allude to that, and they mention it. And lo and behold, when you get the game, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So with things like frame rate issues and just like basic game mechanics that don't work properly, or online issues and things like that, reviews are fantastic because it's some things like that are just yes or no answers.
Yeah,
the game either has frame rate problems, it hitches online, or it doesn't.
Yeah.
That's I want to say something quickly about Gran Turismo 5. Before I had done the update, I had left my PS3 offline. And it loaded really quickly, and it was really fast and everything. But when you did that initial update, it slowed everything down. So I was very sad about that. So it's that initial update, for whatever reason, it completely makes it slower for some reason.
What do you make of Gran Turismo 5?
I like it. I enjoy it. I'm not the biggest gearhead by any stretch of the imagination. But I enjoy it. I think it's nifty, so to say.
Did you play? Did you play Prologue, the one that the basic effective sort of demo they released?
No, this is actually my first Gran Turismo game.
All right. Ooh. I want to ask someone who likes Gran Turismo but isn't crazy obsessed with it, because I didn't. I mean, to me, it's just not 5 years of evolution or whatever. It's Gran Turismo in HD. It doesn't have that quality that I sort of expected it to have.
Yeah.
Like Forza, when Forza 3 came out, that blew me away.
Mm-hmm. Since I'm not used to the series, I didn't have that long anticipation for it, so I'm just kind of like, oh, cool, racing game.
yeah, definitely.
And now that I said that, I completely forgot what... Oh! I remembered something that I have against the reviews nowadays by a lot of, you see it on like Kotaku or IGN and GameSpot, and those is that for anything that's in a series, they want to like reference that earlier game to the series as if they want to just draw upon that instead of trying to take that game on its own merits. And at times I think that really pigeonholes the reviewer into making kind of for and against claims for the game that they're reviewing, and sometimes I think it's just a bit nonsensical.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's the issue of, I don't know if it's hype or I mean, I know sometimes there's advertisements on the websites and obviously influences the scores and stuff, but I always harken back to the original Assassin's Creed, which I thought was just visually stunning. When they presented the idea for that game, or when they started producing trailers for it and whatever, it looked incredible, absolutely incredible. But I think I noticed as that game was being in development, they didn't show you any gameplay videos until about a week before it came out. And to me, that game was, like, honestly, the first Assassin's Creed, I think, was terrible. It was literally just a tech demo. They'd created this amazing technology and then just given you a series of boring fetch quests. It just, yeah, and it reviewed really well. It was. The second one, I think, is fantastic. The second one is the game, you know, and the first one's the tech demo. It baffled me how that could get good reviews. And I think it was going sort of head-to-head with Mass Effect at the time and Mario Galaxy. And, you know, I didn't have money for all of them, and I was trying to decide which one to get. And I've seen all these good reviews for Assassin's Creed. And yet, every time I saw the gameplay, it was just this one thing. It just didn't seem versatile or diverse in any way like you'd expect an open-world game to be.
Yeah, the first one really disappointed.
But how do you review that? How can you... I mean, I didn't understand how people... And even in the reviews, they'd mention that it was linear, there wasn't that much to do. And all they would mention in the reviews, at Game Trailers, I remember specifically did it, was, you know, they're excited for the sequel when the franchise eventually, branches out. But that, they almost seem to use that as justification to give it a high rating.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this isn't that good, but it will be eventually.
Potential's there.
Yeah, so, so yeah, 8 out of 10.
I hate that so much.
Yeah, it's like a pity vote.
Yeah. And I think that was a case of the visuals and the technology getting the high scores rather than the actual game.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, obviously, it was, if we're still talking about Assassin's Creed, obviously it has got better throughout the series, which...
Like I say, Assassin's Creed 2 is a fantastic... It's not just... Assassin's Creed 2 is a genuinely brilliant game.
Yeah.
One of the best games that came out that year.
Yeah.
But Assassin's Creed, to me, will always just be a muddled tech demo.
Yeah, yeah, well, it is. It won't ever be anything different than that, will it?
And but like I say, I think 2 is brilliant, and I can't wait to play Brotherhood. But it's just on the review front, it's really strange.
Yeah, again, I love what they've done with number 3 as well, as like as you show, you can go back and forth in time. You can go to the modern world. Obviously, the online is absolutely amazing, which blew me away in number 3 as well. So it's always like upgrading. But again, if they go for another one, can they do much different? Is it going to be the same again, sort of thing?
I think that any direction that what they're doing with their series. It's been brilliant so far, so yeah. I mean, again, it's just, I think they were just establishing the engine with the first one.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
One thing that's really weird, though, is IGN, 2 reviews on IGN that just fucking always stick in my head and really piss me off, right? WWF Raw, 9 out of 10. WWE Raw 2, 9 out of 10. Check any website, and you don't have to look at the scores, just read the text. And tell me how in fuck's name IGN came up with that. And why did they both get the same score? The whole thing just seems so vile. And I don't know. It just seemed like that was the definitive example of why people don't trust IGN.
It cut you real deep, didn't it?
Yeah, well, they gave it 9 out of 10. Both games. The gameplay was both those games were completely busted. There was no gameplay, right? Ultimately, a wrestling game is a fighting game. So you have health, I have health. I knock your health down. And you die in most games, and knock your health down, and I pin you in a wrestling game. There was no damage system in the original Raw. So there's effectively no gameplay there. You just mash buttons and hit each other, and randomly, one time, you'll get a pin. It doesn't even make sense. Those games were a diabolical mess, and they were getting like 3s and 5s everywhere. Royally slated across the board. And they completely overhauled it for the sequel because of that slating. But IGN gave it 9 out of 10. And the other thing, and this is what I hate about advertisers and things like that, so Raw 1 and Raw 2 on the Xbox are amazing games, according to IGN. Okay, that's great. So why is it when you get top 100 list and top 25 list for Xbox games, they never made it into one of those? Like, how does that work?
It's corrupt, Dan. It's corrupt.
It is, though, isn't it? That's just wrong. But it's inconsistent, though. That's the issue I have with it. Because a lot of their reviews, 99% of their reviews, make perfect sense. But then you just get the old stinker like that, which... just cause you to lose all faith in humanity.
in the world.
In the world, man. And of course, the GameSpot, fucking Kane and Lynch, Jeff Gerstmann debacle.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
Best one of all. So, oh, no, we didn't fire him because he gave a poor review to a game that's being advertised on our site. a review, which we later edited and pulled from the site. It's just like, It was like the most phony cover-up ever, wasn't it? God damn it.
When was that?
2007, I think.
Okay. Jesus. That's another reason why I don't really pay much attention to IGN and stuff anymore.
That killed GameSpot for me. That's why I get a giant bomb. I mean, I hope to God they don't ever go the other way, but they'll happily give a bad rating to a sort of big release if they don't like it. And it's really, really opinionated as well. So, if you listen to their podcast and stuff, everyone could like the game apart from the guy that reviewed it. And the guy that reviewed it is the one who's putting the score on the site, so if he doesn't like it, then it's getting a bad rating.
Exactly. It's the same with film reviews, isn't it? If that one critic that goes to the film doesn't like it, it's going to get a bad review because he doesn't like it, as opposed to the hundreds of people out there that might, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but then there's like trends. People like bad movies and people like bad games.
Like us.
Right. I mean, really bad games, though. What's an example?
Like us.
We haven't got any Japanese fans. Monster Hunter. I'm just throwing that out there. Okay, maybe not. I'm sorry. Okay, here's an example. Here's a fair example. Dynasty Warriors, the series. Like, what have they done to evolve that franchise?
Absolutely nothing.
I mean, honestly, like, really have.
They put robots in one of them.
They put robots in one of them. And I played that. You know what? That was only the second Dynasty Warriors game I played for more than like a minute. And I was like, oh, this is cool. You can fly. I was like, no, these are the same animations.
I've played one Dynasty Warrior game for about 10 minutes in my life. I don't think it was even 10 minutes, and that was it. I've never put another one in.
I don't have a problem with them. They're not evil, but
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't ever buy more than one.
See, I think the newest one that's either going to be coming out or that was last released has one of the characters, kind of a random tangent. Do you guys know, what the heck is that called? Mystery of Murasame Castle?
No.
No, it's one of those that never made it outside of Japan, and it's a Falcom game. No, it's not. It's a Famicom game, if I can learn to talk. It's a Famicom game that, think of it kind of like Zelda in its presentation, but instead you have different levels and you are timed and the game is on crack. It's insanely hard. It's insanely hard because you're trying to go through these castles to like find out the mystery that's going on, like why are these people acting all like funky and stuff, and you go from different areas and stuff, and there's ninjas popping up all over the place throwing stuff at you, and it's brutally hard. But that character is actually going to be in the newest Dynasty Warriors.
But again, like as you say, with that the character, and that, although obviously it's good when they adapt other characters and that, but again, it's going to be a new character, but in the same game. Do you know what I mean? Dynasty Warriors 1 to Dynasty Warriors 150 is still going to be Dynasty Warriors with better graphics and newer characters.
Like, the funniest example of that was Lost Planet 2 as well, the reviewers even mentioned this. They put the guys from Gears of War in it. It's like, what? Why would you want to remind people of a better game? That's a terrible idea.
Exactly. A game that's still selling more than what they are selling and double the price.
Yeah, it's just like, this is a bad idea.
But here's the thing, that people are still going to buy it. Like, even if it's the same for Dynasty Warriors, people are still going to just buy it because...
Okay. God bless them.
Yeah, because that's what they like. So.
I buy Guilty as Charged. I buy SmackDown games. Every year it's the same fucking game. Every year they break one mechanic and fix another. You know what we're talking about? They don't fix shit. Every year they break one mechanic and add a new busted one. And the next year they'll put the broken one back, fixed, and they'll break one that's previously working. And they're terrible, but I love wrestling, so I'll pay full price for them every time they come out. So I don't judge anyone who buys every Dynasty Warriors game or every FIFA game when they were going through that phase where they were just producing shit, which it obviously isn't nowadays because they're doing pretty well. But
each to their own, though, isn't it? Where it's game collecting.
Exactly. Like, I don't think anyone's an asshole for collecting a game I don't like. I just wouldn't do it.
I think people that collect wrestling games are assholes.
Well, that's a fact, though, isn't it?
That's the nature of the beast.
That's the nature of the beast. There's opinions and then there's fact. You all know that. We should probably wind this down a little bit here.
Yeah, man.
We're overrunning.
I like that. I like the way we're the furious. We'll keep this one below an hour.
We will keep this one below an hour in Japanese time. I don't know, technically, we haven't... You know what? Tom?
Yeah.
I'm not making any sense.
Right, okay. Yeah, well, as I say, we're going to wind it down. Obviously, we won't be doing one for the next week or so, as it is Christmas, and the last thing you probably will want to hear is us jabbling on about games over Christmas. But obviously, we'll do one after and see if we've got any Christmas pickups on that, and let you know what we've been playing over the Christmas period.
That's right. So thank you, Taylor, for joining us on this monument occasion.
Thank you. I really appreciate you guys having me on here. It was really fun chatting with you guys.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, have a good Christmas out in Hong Kong.
Hong Kong? What?
He's in China now.
No. China, yeah. It's somewhere in Japan. I'm somewhere.
He's in the Chinese part of Japan. That's somewhere over the left, I think. Right. Tom, you've made like the most ambiguous racist statement we could possibly have on the podcast. So I think on that bombshell, this one's in the can.
I've got more.